This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, April 30th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, legal issues in the news looks at releasing medical records and how the rules change when the person in question dies. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser, first to look at today's news. Illinois' top leader has been noticeably quiet about what's arguably the biggest issue facing the state this year, high electric rates. Amanda Vinicky looks into the possible reason.
Rod Blagojevich has modeled himself as a populist governor. One would predict bringing down electric rates for consumers struggling to pay their power bills is the sort of issue Blagojevich would jump on. However, it's been 4 months since Ameren and Commonwealth Edison's rates skyrocketed. While lawmakers have struggled to reach a resolution, the governor stayed out of the fray. Democrat Mike Smith of Canton.
I do think he has a responsibility as the top elected official in the state to become more engaged in the issue. You know, people are looking for leadership.
Smith says the governor may be standing back because he doesn't want to get between legislative leaders. House Speaker Mike Madigan favors rolling back electric rates, but Senate President Emil Jones says a freeze is the wrong way to go. Jones is the biggest supporter of the governor's proposal for a new business tax to pay for universal health care and other initiatives. The governor maintains he supports rolling back power prices. He says he'll sign legislation once the General Assembly gets it to his desk. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Illinois officials have announced enhanced campus safety initiatives as a reaction to the shootings at Virginia Tech. Governor Blagojevich says he wants to create a task force to help colleges prepare for, respond to, and recover from emergencies. The state also plans to allocate $300,000 in grants to help communication capabilities at schools. Representatives from colleges would also be added to the Illinois Terrorism Task Force, which develops and implements Homeland Security strategy. Blagojevich says the state has a responsibility to ensure the safety of students. The state legislature is considering a measure that would change damage awards in wrongful death cases. Sean Crawford has that story.
When juries consider how much money to award in wrongful death suits, they're instructed to leave certain factors, like how much pain a family feels, out of the equation. This plan would allow jurors to put a price on grief and sorrow when it comes to the wrongful death of a loved one. Representative James Brosnahan, a Democrat from Evergreen Park, says it's about fair compensation.
The worth of a human life can't just be determined by lost wages or future wages. Something more than that is involved.
The House approved the measure on a narrow vote, sending it to the state Senate. The debate is reminiscent of a few years ago when Illinois placed caps on damages involving medical malpractice. The Illinois Medical Society is concerned this would allow juries to bypass those limits and lead to higher malpractice insurance costs for doctors. I'm Sean Crawford.
Indiana lawmakers have wrapped up their business for 2007. Among other things, they approved a two-year, $26 billion budget. The House and Senate both passed that bill before a midnight adjournment deadline last night. The bill includes $300 million in property tax relief for Indiana homeowners. Under the plan, homeowners would pay their bills in full but get a check reflecting higher tax credits toward the end of the year. The plan would also provide $250 million in property tax relief for homeowners next year, but the reductions would be reflected on the tax bills instead of through rebates. The bill now goes to Governor Mitch Daniels. It also includes more money for health care for uninsured Indiana adults. It would be paid for through a 45-cent per pack increase in the state's cigarette tax. Two county boards in western Illinois have gone on record as being opposed to gun control laws being discussed in the state legislature in Illinois. Don Johnson has more.
The boards in Brown and Pike counties say the proposed bills could outlaw some firearms that are used legally in hunting. Pike County Board Vice Chair Mark Mountain says hunting is an important revenue source.
It has a large economic impact on Pike County. Into the millions. We've often wondered what the actual figure was, but it's in the millions.
The resolutions adopted by the counties also note that county elected officers swear to uphold the Constitution, which includes the Second Amendment. Brown County Board Member Jim Logston says the state legislation would not affect criminal gun users, but would hamper those who use firearms legally. I'm Don Johnson.
Illinois' Bureau of Tourism plans to announce the results of its Seven Wonders of Illinois promotion today. There is one wonder for each of seven regions, and they include Allerton Park and Retreat Center in Monticello. Also on the list are Starved Rock State Park in Utica, Black Hawk State Historic Site in Rock Island, and Wren Lake in Benton, as well as Wrigley Field in Chicago and the Baha'i House of Worship in Wilmette. It also includes the meeting of the Great River Scenic Byway, following a 33-mile strip of the Mississippi through Alton, Grafton, Hartford, and Elsa. There were no rules for what could be a wonder, but Jan Costner, the Bureau's deputy director, says voters seemed inclined toward natural wonders. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Commentator Amy Guida wasn't surprised at some coverage of mid-April's shooting at Virginia Tech. Medical information is normally private, as she explains in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, but not forever.
The link was right there, on the Washington Post website, right below the story and its many sidebars about the Virginia Tech shooter. Click here, it promised, for a look at Sung-Wee Cho's commitment papers. And sure enough, there they were. The 6-page official Virginia document entitled Involuntary Commitment Process, Written Explanation, dated 2 years and 4 months before his murderous rampage. Cho was mentally ill, it alleged. His affect was flat and his mood depressed. Has patient attempted suicide? No. Has patient attempted homicide? No. Not yet. A deeply personal look into someone's mental state. Words from a physician who'd had a chance to talk with a patient in a private medical setting. Normally, commitment papers like these are entirely private. If the Washington Post had published such an official document regarding just anyone, an average citizen, say, that person could sue the newspaper for invasion of privacy under the heading of a tort called publication of private facts. That tort makes it unlawful to publish highly personal information about someone if it would be highly offensive to most people and not of legitimate public concern. An average person who's not in the news stands the best chance of winning such a lawsuit. You can imagine that the issues in such cases generally involve the meaning of offensiveness and what is truly of legitimate public concern. And, of course, a key issue is the meaning of the term private fact. There are several areas that courts generally protect as private, unless we've been open to many others about them. One of those private areas is medical history. Traditionally, courts have found someone's medical information, including information about surgeries, prescriptions, and diagnoses, to be off limits for public consumption. But here, even if a court would perhaps wrestle with newsworthiness or whether such a document created by the state and kept within state files contains truly private information, there would be no valid publication of private facts claim. And that's because Mr. Cho is dead. Once we die, our privacy rights generally die with us. Courts ordinarily bar relatives from suing for invasive publications about those who've died, no matter how private the facts or how trivial the news value in disclosing them. So the Washington Post likely didn't think twice about publishing what it would have otherwise held multiple meetings with its lawyers about. Certain medical information is private information, yes, but only to a point in time. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. We could be flirting with some high temperature records today over parts of Illinois and Indiana. Our forecast for today in far northern Illinois, mostly sunny early, then partly sunny with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Elsewhere, though, mostly sunny and warm, the highs ranging from 68 along the Chicago lakefront to 88 degrees in parts of west central and southwest Illinois. For tonight, in the north, partly to mostly cloudy, a few isolated showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere, mostly clear still, and lows ranging from 53 in northeast Indiana to 63 in southwest Illinois. Ed Kieser says tomorrow in the north, mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers, and in central and southern sections, a mix of clouds and sun on Tuesday, with scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, and highs tomorrow ranging from 68 near Lake Michigan to 85 in the south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, April 30th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.